from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello listener, welcome back with me Rahma. In today's edition, we'll present some segments for you, starting from news, spotlight of the week, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well listener, let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency of 3325 and 4755 kHz, website voinews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile App. English program of Voice of Indonesia can also be accessed in our mobile application, RRI Digital.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the main points. Indonesian government seeks national participation for the successfully holding of High-level forum multi-stakeholder partnership and second Indonesia-Africa forum in Bali. Indonesian minister seeks people support to make Indonesian a global language. Now the news in detail. The Indonesian Communication and Informatics Ministry urged all levels of society to participate in ensuring the successful implementation of the High-Level Forum Multi-Stakeholders Partnership and the Second Indonesia-Africa Forum in Bali from September 1st to the 3rd. The International Forum is an important event for Indonesia to strengthen cross-sectoral collaboration to achieve the Sustainable Development Goals. Amid increasingly complex global challenges, the Ministry's Director General of Information and Public Communication, Prabu Nindya Reftarevolusi, stated on Saturday. He remarked that the forum themed strengthening multi-stakeholders partnership for development towards a transformative change are expected to encourage policy dialogue and strengthen global commitment to sustainable development. The success of organizing this international forum is not merely a reflection of Indonesia's image at the global level, but also proves the country's commitment in advancing sustainable development through global cooperation. Indonesian Minister of Education, Culture, Research and Technologies Nadiem Anwar Makarim has called on the public to support the internationalization of the Indonesian language or Bahasa Indonesia. He stated that the Handai Indonesia Festival or Indonesian Friends Festival in Bali recently, noting the growing interest among the foreigners in learning Indonesian. The festival attracted participants from 78 countries, although the Indonesian language courses for foreigners institutions are present in only 55 countries. The establishment of the festival in 2020 has been a strategic move to encourage foreign speakers to engage more enthusiastically with Indonesian language. A series of efforts to promote the Indonesian language globally have also yielded results, with Indonesian being included as one of the 10 official languages at the UNESCO General Assembly. According to the minister, Bahasa Indonesia has the potential to become a global language, bridging people around the world and serving as a language of science and technology, while also adapting to the changes brought by time. The wood carving art of Macan Kurung and the Barikan Karimun Jawa tradition from Jepara, Central Java, have been designated as intangible cultural heritage of Indonesia this year. The designation was finalized during a session held by the Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology from August the 20th to 22nd. Lia Supardianik, the sub-coordinator of archaeological history with the Jepara Tourism and Culture Service, said on Saturday, in addition to Macan Kurung and Barikan Karimun Jawa, Jepara also added other cultural works to the intangible cultural heritage of Indonesia list, including the carving art, the Lomban cultural event, the torch war, trosso weaving, and emprak traditional dance. Macan Kurung sculptures are not produced in other parts of Indonesia, making them highly valuable. Meanwhile, the Barikan Karimun Jawa tradition represents the diversity of ethnic groups inhabiting Karimun Jawa. This shows that Jepara is rich in noble cultural works that are recognized nationally. Talks are expected to begin towing a damaged Greek oil tanker on Sunday, September the 1st, Yemen's Houthi Foreign Minister Ismail Amir said, as the vessel remains adrift and on fire in the Red Sea. The Greek-registered Sonian poses an environmental hazard after it was damaged in an August 21st strike by Houthi forces. The tanker, which the Houthis and maritime services have said has been rigged with explosive, is laden with about 1 million barrels of crude oil. The Houthis said on Wednesday they would allow salvage crews to tow the ship, which has been on fire since August the 23rd, to safety amid fears of a potential slip of 150,000 tons of crude oil into the Red Sea. If a spill occurs, it has the potential to be among the largest from a ship in recorded history and could cause an environmental catastrophe in an area that is particularly dangerous to access. A health official said a polio vaccination campaign had begun in Gaza on Saturday, while an aid worker said a large-scale rollout began on Sunday, coinciding with a humanitarian pause agreed by Israel and Hamas. The vaccination drive was announced after Gaza recorded its first polio case in a quarter of a century earlier this month. An unspecified number of children received the first dose of the vaccination, which involves two doses and is administered orally. At Nasser Hospital in the southern city of Khan Yunis, the World Health Organization, WHO, said on Thursday that Israel had agreed to a series of three-day humanitarian pauses in Gaza to facilitate vaccination. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has said measures to facilitate polio vaccination in Gaza are not a ceasefire. The campaign aims to cover more than 640,000 children under 10 years. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky increased pressure on the United States to let Kyiv strike deeper into Russian territory after his representatives met senior U.S. officials in Washington on Saturday. Washington has provided Ukraine with more than $50 billion U.S. worth of military aid since 2022, but has limited the use of its weapons to Ukrainian soil and defensive cross-border operation. Appealing to the United States, Britain, France, and Germany, he said Ukraine needs the capabilities to truly and fully protect the country and the people. Without providing specifics, he said his representatives had provided all the necessary details to Ukraine's partners. Ukrainian Defense Minister Rustem Umerov in Washington with a delegation on Friday and Saturday to meet U.S. officials and experts said in an interview broadcast by CNN that Kyiv was showing Russian airfields used to hit Ukrainian cities were within range of deep strikes. Music. China and the Philippines on Saturday, August the 31st, accused each other of deliberately ramming their Coast Guard ships near a flashpoint shoal in the South China Sea, the latest in a spate of similar incidents in recent weeks. Beijing claims almost all of the economically vital body of water, despite competing claims from other countries and an international court ruling that its assertion has no legal basis. A Chinese Coast Guard spokesperson said Saturday's incident took place off the disputed Sabina Shoal, which has emerged as a new hotspot in the long-running maritime confrontation between the two countries. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Spotlight of the week is on Indonesia's emergency response to WHO's Mpox emergency alert. Indonesian President Joko Widodo ordered his staff to increase vigilance against the spread of monkeypox or Mpox in Indonesia. He conveyed this while leading a limited cabinet meeting at the Presidential Palace in Jakarta Tuesday. The World Health Organization, WHO, on August the 14th, has declared Mpox a global health emergency. WHO had previously declared the same status in 2022.
Saya juga minta betul-betul kehati-hatian kita, kewaspadaan kita terkait dengan penyebaran wabah.
I also ask for our utmost caution, our vigilance regarding the spread of the Mpox outbreak, because what I heard is that the Mpox outbreak cases have increased significantly in Congo, and there is also the second determination of Mpox as a public emergency of international concern from WHO. The president ordered his staff to increase Mpox surveillance through entry points at a number of international airports in Indonesia and prepare the health protocols needed to prevent the spread of Mpox domestically.
Pengawasan di pintu-pintu.
Surveillance at international arrival entry points will also be carried out immediately by the Ministry of Health and possibly by other ministries or institutions. The preventive measures needed because of the previous COVID pandemic experience can be used as a reference. So I ask that a health protocol be created immediately and disseminated massively. Health Minister Budi Gunadi Sadikin explained that the emergence of Class 1B in Africa was the main factor in the change in the emergency status of Mpox by WHO. In response to this, according to him, Indonesia will reactivate the early detection system for infectious diseases to prevent the importation of Mpox disease into the country. According to him, this effort is a surveillance strategy taken by the government in responding to the emergence of the latest Mpox strain called 1B because it is more deadly than its predecessor 2B. He added that the Indonesian government has also imported 1,000 doses of Mpox vaccine from Denmark. He also ensured that all hospitals in Bali and Jakarta have been equipped with the necessary medicines. The Indonesian government is currently paying attention to the province of Bali because it will hold the second Indonesia-Africa Forum or IAF on September the 1st until the 3rd in Nusa Dua. This forum will also be held in conjunction with the high-level forum on multi-stakeholder partnerships. That was this week's Spotlight.
Sampai jumpa di video selanjutnya. khatulistiwa. Di situ ku ada bersamamu saudara. Beragam warna kita, suku tak selalu sama. Kau aku Indonesia, yang disatukan karena cinta. Karena kita Indonesia, jangan pernah terpecah belah. Walau kita berbeda, walau kita tak sama, tetaplah satu kita, kita Indonesia sesungguhnya.
I start today in history with September the 1st, 1923, the Kanto earthquake in Japan. The great Kanto earthquake struck the Kanto plain on Japan's main island of Honshu at 1 p.m. on Saturday, September the 1st, 1923. Reports indicate the duration of the quake was between 4 and 10 minutes. The earthquake had a magnitude of 7.9 on this moment magnitude scale. More than 105,000 people were killed and missing, and more than 1,900,000 people were evacuated. The earthquake destroyed 109,000 buildings. Moving on to September the 1st, 1961, the first conference of the Non-Aligned Movement. The Non-Aligned Movement is an international organization of more than 100 countries that consider themselves unaligned with any major power. This movement opposes imperialism, colonialism, apartheid, racism, and all forms of military aggression, occupation, domination, interference or hegemony, and opposes all forms of political blocs. The Non-Aligned Movement began with an Asia-Africa summit held in Bandung, Indonesia in 1955. There, countries that did not side with a particular bloc declared their desire not to be involved in the West-East ideological confrontation. The founders of this movement were five world leaders: Sukarno, President of Indonesia; Josip Broz Tito of Yugoslavia; Gamal Abdel Nasser of Egypt; Pandit Jawaharlal Nehru of India; and Kwame Nkrumah of Ghana. The Non-Aligned Movement held its first summit in Belgrade, Yugoslavia, from September 1 to 6, 1961. It was at that first conference that the Non-Aligned Movement was officially established. and Today in History with September the 1st, 1963, the Bogor Agricultural University founded. Bogor Agricultural University is an agricultural higher education institution that historically was formed from secondary and higher agricultural and veterinary education institutions that began in the early 20th century in Bogor, West Java. Before World War II, these secondary education institutions were known as Middelbaar Landbouwschool, Middelbaar Bosbouwschool, and Netherlands Indische Verartsenschool. On September 1, 1963, the first president of Indonesia, Sukarno, laid the first stone for the construction of the campus while marking the inauguration of the Bogor Agricultural University as an independent university. That was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in this week's Listener's Mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent their letters or emails containing reception reports in our broadcast. Now let's start answering their letters or emails. First, I would like to reply to an email from Manrique Bequeiro in Uruguay. He was listening to our program in Spanish. In his email, he informed that he has heard our broadcasting at 5 p.m. UTC on the 4755 kHz frequency, with some interference at times inaudible at the general level. Hello, sir. Thank you for your reception report. If I look at the SINPO 23121, it was poor, but I really appreciate it. Your email has been forwarded to Spanish section. So keep listening to VOI. Thank you so much. Now let's enjoy this beautiful song special for you. Enjoy.
Lihat surya pagi menyapa, jagat raya alam semesta berseri warna, katulistiwa senantiasa karunia. Ingat kisah syair pusaka, ikrar yang menyatukan kita seiring masa melintas hening cakrawala, membawa pesona citra Indonesia, warisan budaya negeri yang tercinta, anugerah rimba dan cakrawala, membawa pesona.
di Nusantara.
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz, website voinews.id and RRI Digital Mobile App Channel VOI. In today's edition, we'll give information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on Paralympic athlete costumes carry the Sandia Niskala concept. Designer Didit Maulana carries the Sandia Niskala concept to design costumes for Indonesian Paralympic athletes who are competing in the 2024 Paris Paralympics from August the 28th until September the 8th. On the websites of the Ministry of Youth and Sport in Jakarta Wednesday, the Indonesian designer Didit Maulana revealed that the design is titled Sandia Niskala, which means born from the strength, courage, and determination to never give up of Indonesian Paralympics athletes. According to him, Sandia Niskala is expected to be a symbol of motivation and unity, supporting sportsmanship and celebrating every achievement of Indonesian athletes who will compete in the 2024 Paris Paralympics. He further explained that the collection highlights the meaning of unity and oneness inspired by Indonesia as an archipelagic country with diverse cultures but still united as in the philosophy of Bhinneka Tunggal Ika. There is a geometric pattern with waves like the ocean that depicts Indonesia as an archipelago. Meanwhile, the motif symbolizes the struggle and optimism of the athletes. The motif presented, continued Didit, also includes elements of the mythological Garuda bird in the form of feathers and elements of ikat woven motifs that represent the richness of Indonesian culture. The motif also means the unity of the Indonesian nation. Didit Maulana added that the Indonesian element is also clearly visible in the combination of colors used. In addition to red and white as the colors of the Indonesian flag, Didit also presents the golden yellow color that symbolizes splendor and glory. The combination of colors and motifs produces a sporty and spirited costume but still looks elegant. In producing the costume, Didit Maulana collaborated with MILS, the Ministry of Youth and Sports, and the Indonesian National Paralympics Committee. That was My Indonesia Sunday.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 24/7 55kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you. Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Now we will reply to an email from Pradeep Chandra Kundu in India. In his email, he is sending his special anniversary wishes to Voice of Indonesia in advance as going to celebrate our 79th anniversary on September 11th. Hello, sir. Thank you for your wish. I hope our programs can satisfy you. If you have suggestion or criticism, please send us by email or letter. So keep listening to Voice of Indonesia. Thank you for joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. For the next segment, we'll present to you Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Indonesian Wonder today is featuring Kadapet Watara, a snack from Sumba, East Nusa Tenggara Province. In addition to the enchanting natural and cultural tourist destinations of Sumba, this beautiful island in the province of East Nusa Tenggara also has several typical foods and beverages that are proven to be delicious and are the favorites of visitors. One of the typical Sumba culinary delights that must be tried is Kadapet Watara. Kadapet Watara is a type of snack originating from Sumba. This Kadapet Watara made from corn, bananas, and a mixture of ground peanuts and sugar. These main ingredients are mixed into a dough, which is then processed into a round shape. What makes this typical Sumba Kadapet Watara cookies unique is that after the dough is formed, it will be wrapped in dried corn leaves. Its taste is very special, perfect for lovers of sweet snacks. Besides for its unique taste, Kadapet Watara is also renowned for the way of making it. The process has been known since ancient times and has continued to be passed down from generation to generation to the present. Therefore, many tourists are attracted to learn how to make it from the people around Sumba. Previously, this Kadapet Watara was only a homemade culinary delight made to enliven special events such as traditional ceremonies or celebrations in the Sumba area. But now, Kadapet Watara has become one of the typical souvenirs from Sumba, even a must-buy for tourists visiting this area. That was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder.
Before we end our segment listeners' mailbag, I'll reply to an email from Bernd Seiser in Germany. He was listening to German programs on August 11, 2024 through live streaming with the Sinpo 555555. In his email, he asked us to send him our QSL card. Hello, sir. Thank you for the detailed reception report. It's useful for improving our broadcast. Please be patient with the reply from the German section. As appreciation, I'll play a beautiful song for you. Well, listener, wherever you are, for your information, you can access our broadcast through 3325 and 4755 kHz, also 7780 kHz, which broadcasts by WRMI. If you have suggestion or criticism, please send them to voilisteners@gmail.com. voilisteners@gmail.com. You just enjoyed the third song presented by Voice of Indonesia. Next, we have Miscellany.
Today's Miscellany is featuring University of Indonesia wins the first place in ASRAE Design Competition 2024. The American Society of Heating, Refrigerating and Air Conditioning Engineers, or ASRAE, once again has named a team of students from the Faculty of Engineering of the University of Indonesia as the first place winner. The team won the SETI Family Foundation Net Zero Energy Design category at the ASRAE Design Competition 2024 in Atlanta, Georgia, United States. The six students who are members of the ARKIN team, Faculty of Engineering of the University of Indonesia, managed to outperform 163 other teams with their green building design, which they named Bromeliad Library. For three consecutive years, the University of Indonesia students have always won at this event. This project highlights the concept of a building that can reduce CO2 emissions and meet net zero emission standards. To achieve this goal, the building combines passive and active strategies in its design. Passive strategies include optimizing natural light, reducing solar heat, and innovative clay facades to control humidity. On the other hand, building strategies focus on the air quality, efficient water management, and energy-efficient lighting. Biman, a member of the team, explained that the Bromeliad Library is equipped with several superior features such as LED sunlight sensors and the use of the roof area for vegetated terraces and solar panels. The building also has a water and fog harvesting system that can collect up to 3.3 million liters of rainwater and dew per year. With the implementation of these strategies and technologies, the use of energy use intensity, or EUI, in the building has been significantly reduced from 211 kilowatt per square meters to 87 kilowatt per square meters, reducing energy consumption by 59%. That was Miscellany from Voice of Indonesia.
More from Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Berlari-lari kecil di hati.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's music corner presents a song from Lobo. Lobo Ilyas, or Lobo, is an Indonesian singer who became known since his first single entitled Salah or Wrong had become the soundtrack for the film Chocolate Strawberry in 2007. After that, Lobo was active in creating and releasing albums in collaboration with top Indonesian musicians such as Pai, Fadri Padi, and Dewik. Then Lobo took a break to work for the largest animated film company in Indonesia as the music illustrator for the animated film Adit Sopojarwo. Now Lobo is back in the studio and continuing his music career. In 2024, Lobo released a song with the theme of love, which in terms of lyrics, music, and taste is very appropriate to today's life. The single entitled Malu Malu Mau, or Coy But Willing, tells about shy or coy feeling that many people, including Gen Z, often have, which is so interesting to follow. Through this song, Lobo hopes many people will be helped to express feelings of love that have been hidden for a long time. Well, listener, here comes Lobo with the latest single, Malu Malu Mau. Happy listening.
Candu-candu memerayu, goda menggoda hasratku. Tak bisa ku mengalihkan candumu menggoda hati. Kamu malu-malu, ku katakan isi hatiku kepadamu. Ku suka tapi ku malu. Rasa-rasanya terhanyut malu.
Listener, thank you so much for listening to our English program. If you have suggestion or criticism, besides sending the email, you can also send us a direct message or mention us on Facebook fanpage The Voice of Indonesia or Instagram at VOI_official. So I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.